Chapman's Ice Cream just added a twisted treat with a whirlwind of flavors. Introducing the all-new Chapman's Twister. The fruit twist, strawberry center with twists of cherry, orange, and blue raspberry. The rainbow creamy twister, vanilla ice cream with twists of lemon lime, cherry, and orange water ice. Stacked and twisted, blue raspberry, cherry, lemon lime, and orange. And the Neapolitan creamy twister, vanilla ice cream with twists of strawberry and chocolate water ice. Add a twist to your day with Chapmans.ca.
I don't know about you guys, but there are a few instruments that transport me to other realms. I'm a huge fan of the banjo and the mandolin and the bagpipes. Oh, Tim, I saw at the new Long McQuaid in Brampton, they've got party pack, different tones of plastic didgeridoos they sell in a bag. Yeah. You should have started that. Why didn't you invent that?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to put fingering so I can, like a flute or something.
Right.
Talk.
Anyway, where was I? Yeah. Born in Toronto, Meredith Moon is a folk musician whose sound has been described as heartfelt as well as reminiscent of old-time Appalachia, where the number one pickup line is, "Hey baby, nice tooth." While playing original songs as well as traditional Irish and American folk tunes, she incorporates guitar and banjo and... Jeez. What is that other thing?
Podorhythmy.
Say it again.
Podorhythmy. Not potty. Not to be mistaken with potty rhythm.
Oh, it sounds like a something made out of hemp.
Yeah. Circadian.
What is it again? Podorhythmy.
Podorhythmy.
Foot rhythms.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing in the background there? Or isn't that just tapping your foot?
No, it's more of a, it's like a do-do-do-do-do-do kind of thing. Kind of sounds like Pegasus is coming through.
Pegasus. Here come the horse.
Yeah,
here come
yeah,
the horse.
Yeah.
Into her performance. In the past 6 years, Meredith Moon has played several Canadian folk festivals, toured Canada as well as Central America, and released two albums. Here's a little thing you may want to know about. Meredith will be playing in Toronto at the Cameron House on July 19th. True story?
Yes, that is very much true.
Front room or back?
Front.
Beautiful. I don't like the back room.
Yeah.
I way like the front room more.
Mm-hmm.
Way more.
Mm-hmm.
I do like their house beer, though.
Very good. Very good.
That's actually one of the more unique rooms, I think, in the city, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the whole pass the bucket thing is alive and well there.
Absolutely, yeah. I find it's the best venue for that.
Yeah.
If not, the local on Rawlinses Vales also.
Oh, yeah.
Very good jug system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. You are our last live recording artist for season 15. The honors bestowed upon you. Yes, Tim, clapping in the hallway. Well done, Tim. So tell us about the musical journey of one Meredith Moon. It began, I don't know, how?
Began, came from a family with a musical background, and then from there I sort of, I think when I was like 14, I started playing guitar more seriously.
Okay.
And I learned some, you know, I was really into like grunge, and so I think I learned like Disarm by the Smashing Pumpkins. That was like the first thing I learned on guitar.
Uh-huh.
You know, wanted to be Courtney Love, all that stuff. And
right.
Then I sort of moved on to I found bluegrass when I was about 16, and I picked up the Appalachian dulcimer and started learning traditional Appalachian tunes.
Yes.
And then I sort of realized the banjo was sort of the epitome of Appalachia.
Yes.
So I sort of wanted to explore that instrument, and then I've been playing banjo for 3 years now.
Wow. I took banjo lessons when I was a kid, because I've been into banjo for a very long time. My dad was into the country music, but it wasn't even that. I can't even remember. It might have been actually through Steve Martin, believe it or not, at the very beginning, you know, some of his goofy comedian stuff. But what I found, Meredith, was I should have started with something simpler, because you're actually working both sets of fingers at the same time. So your left hand is doing some fingering stuff and your right hand is doing fingering stuff. But no one told me back then about, well, a proper banjo teacher would not tell you this, to just do open tuning, right? They get you to do all sorts of intricate stuff.
Well, actually, all banjos, I mean, the standard tuning for banjos is G.
Okay.
So the first thing you want to do is get your right hand working, given you're right-handed. But I mean, you know, you can pluck a G chord on a banjo very easily.
Yeah.
You know, because you just strum the thing. But yeah, there are there. It's fun for that reason.
Yeah. I quit. I stopped. I just said
well,
forget
that's
it.
No good.
No, I still remember it was Cosmo Music on Yonge Street. Yeah, back in the day. I'm doing that whole back in my day thing. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. who is someone that you would listen to a lot yourself?
When? Now?
Yeah.
Ooh. I listen to my friends' music a lot. I know a lot of really talented old-time musicians. I guess the guy who got me into old-time was Doc Watson.
Doc Watson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Doc Watson a friend?
No. He's a bluegrass. They call him the grandfather of bluegrass.
I thought that was... hold on now.
The other guy.
Yeah, no. Give me some more bluegrass names. Do you know any other bluegrass names that we can talk about?
Clarence Ashley.
Why can't I think of this guy's name?
Yeah, Doc Watson.
We'll figure it out. No, yeah. Stop. We'll figure it out later. All right. Well, listen. Let's get a song out of you. Can we do that, please?
Yeah.
Did you just blow in your fingers?
I did.
It's a very interesting way to start.
Case of the sweaty hands.
Oh, yeah. It's like you're a bowler. Yeah, got to get the blowing machine on there. What song is this?
This is called Old House.
What? Tell me about this guitar. I want to have a little listen to this guitar. What's it sound like? Is it a pretty sounding guitar? Ooh. What is that, though? I don't recognize the headstock.
I actually don't know. I borrowed it from someone this morning.
Really?
I've never played this guitar
That's
before.
Fantastic.
So.
All right. And this song again is called?
Old House.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Meredith Moon.
No. This house ain't no home.
Well done, Meredith Boone on the Drew Marshall Show. Oh, love that stuff. That's got a bit of a... Okay, so how do you describe a song like that? It's sort of like...
Folk?
No, it's not folk. Well, of course, you saying it's folk, then it probably is folk. But you know what I mean? Like it's almost like an old country swing song, right? There's a term for this. What am I missing?
You would call it a... Not outlaw, I guess. That would be more like Towns Van Zandt kind of thing. Yeah, now the word's on the tip of my tongue as well.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. That's what happens when you get old, Meredith, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So experiencing a lot of this. Meredith Moon, the website is meredithmoon.com, meredithmoon.com, and she'll be playing in Toronto at the Cameron House on July 19th. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know what date that is, or day that is?
Not a clue.
Can one of you guys look that up? July 19th, please?
It's probably a Friday.
Yeah, because I'd like to go to that, actually. I'd like to come down and I like that place.
Okay.
Big fan of the Cameron.
Yeah, me too.
What is it?
Thursday.
It's a Thursday. A Thursday's Thursday. Even better. Because I have to go to bed early on a Friday night in order to do the show. Weirdest or bestest place you've ever done a gig in at?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean... Oh, man. I think the weirdest and the best place I've played a gig has been, I've played a lot of house shows just in my friends' houses. We have this, like, network across, you know, the world of, like, you know, that not a lot of people know of, but there's, like, a DIY, like, kind of house show underground scene going on, and best and weirdest. So we all kind of just crowd around each other and we're all crying and, you know, sitting cross-legged on the floor and playing songs
to
each other unplugged.
That's way cool.
And it's a really beautiful experience.
See, that's kind of like Tim and I both grew up in the camp scene, and we'd sit around campfires and sing songs and all that kind of stuff. And it just seems to be a lost art these days, you know. Mm-hmm. And someone like you comes along, and I think what we're talking about is community, right? You are a vessel for community building in the way you do your songs and how
we
you
all are, though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the musician, what's the, you know, it's kind of like, what's the Elizabethan word? Tim, what's the Elizabethan word for the musician back in the day? The
guy with the
music? Thanks,
yeah,
Tim.
The hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah, Tim's here all week. Enjoy this. Hey,
the minstrel.
Was the one that brought community, I think.
Yeah.
Very much so. I might ask Shauna the intern to switch out microphones. Or Tim could do it, yeah. Can we just switch out mics, please? I don't like that mic as much. So we'll be right back with a new mic in Meredith Moon in just a moment. I'm very excited to hear how this new mic sounds. How does it sound, Meredith?
You tell me.
Oh, it's delightful. Oh. It's delightful. Delightful. Can we get another little tune out of you?
Yes.
What are you going to do?
This is a song called Byron's Song. Wrote this for my friend in Guelph.
Is his name?
Byron. Okay. His name is Byron.
Anything else you want to set up? Why did you write a song for Byron?
Byron's just a special person and taught me a lot about stuff, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Meredith Moon. Thank you. she is, Bard Song, Meredith Moon on the Drew Marshall Show. Meredith, I just realized something. You have tattoos.
Yes.
Tim has a few tattoos as well.
Oh, man.
Stop.
What
Whoa, where did those come from? Oh. Is it irritating when old people say, oh, look at your tattoos?
You know what? I mean, in recent times, I haven't really had so many older people...
talk to you?
no, quite on the contrary. When you play a banjo, you'd naturally have older people talking to you. It's just how it goes.
Yeah.
But I haven't had any of them been very critical. I suppose.
But who would say? How do they be critical? Like, I don't like your tattoos. No one's going to say
sort
that.
Well, maybe they're just kind of like standoffish a little bit or whatever, you know. So yeah. that has happened before. You know, they think I'm in some kind of bike gang and I'm going to steal their money and
really?
Stuff. You know,
man.
Like that. That's the kind of be the stereotype.
The 40s called. Mm-hmm. They want their attitude back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm interested in your tattoos. I'm interested in the meaning behind tattoos.
Ah.
Right. So tell me about the one that is the best story.
Oh man. Well. Unfortunately, this sleeve doesn't roll up very, very high.
Right.
And, I mean, I can take my
shirt
off.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
No, you know, I mean, I guess this is one I can talk about.
That's actually very pretty.
This is this banjo that I'm playing here.
Oh, okay.
And this is done by a guy named Ricky in Montreal.
He's so fine.
Yeah. And,
Tim?
He's a good guy.
Tim, did you get that?
Tim's gone.
Why? I do a funny thing. Only one person's going to get it, and he's not in the room. Anyway. Okay. So, what? No, tell me about the one that's hidden. Even though it's hidden, what's the story?
They're all little characters that I drew and had them put on me.
So, you do doodle art, and someone tattooed your doodle art?
No, I draw strange, cartoony portraits, and I guess I wish I could show you them, but, yeah.
Okay.
Sort of...
Make sure that happens at the Cameron House, please. I'd prefer to see
I'll
those.
Actually be selling prints that night. So.
Oh, okay. Do you, as an artist, you're selling prints?
Yeah. I sell them with my merch. I sell them with my CDs.
Really?
Sort of pay what you can. You know, you can give me 10 cents or whatever, or just have one.
But when someone puts 10 cents into you, not kind of go inside, at least in your brain, go, really, 10 cents?
If they appear to me, or if I like somebody who, or I know that they are somebody who has the funds to pay more, then it will bother me, but... If one of my friends is like genuinely like I only have 10 cents but I want to print, then I'll be like absolutely.
Yeah. I want to talk about the creative process for songwriting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people write out of darkness. Some people write out of light. Some people write because of substance,
mm-hmm.
substance flowing through their veins. Some people write. As a result of some, you know, they find themselves in some other place for whatever reason. In other words, I think that the creative process in and of itself is a bit of a spiritual experience.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You would concur?
I do
that?
Concur, yes.
Yeah. But spiritually, everybody's got a different angle on things, you know, mm-hmm. what they believe, what they, you know, what their own code is, where does it come from? Is it from something 2,000 years ago? Is it from something 2 months ago? What do you have much of a code in your world or much of a – do you wonder much about what else is out there, the other realms or, you know, if there's a God and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, I've experienced a lot of different spiritual groups over the past few years.
Have you?
Sort of down in the rainforest and then like in Costa Rica and such and – witnessing ayahuasca ceremonies.
I was just going to say, yeah.
I played music for a couple of those and just witnessing, like, you know, people having spiritual experiences or what they believed were spiritual experiences. And then, you know, I've seen the sort of new age culture of the city hippies, you know, kind of thing I like to call them.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, seen that. But, I mean, I don't necessarily believe in anything.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a nihilist. But more, I have my own rituals that are sort of like any person would, you know.
Okay.
So I sort of live by those. So
tell me about the ayahuasca stuff you saw. I mean, Bruce Coburn and I have talked about the ayahuasca scene,
yeah.
As well as what's Survivor Man's name, Les Stroud.
Yeah.
He and I talked about that once. Is it as trippy as Like I can, this is what I know
about
ayahuasca.
I've never done ayahuasca myself.
No, but you've witnessed other people do this thing? Okay, so, and let me just bring people up to speed. It's a root, and it's found somewhere down south, and they boil it in water or whatever and drink it. And then this is what I've heard. You puke, and you lose control of things. Maybe your pee-pee and your poo-poo. Welcome to Romper Room.
Nice. Well, you lose control of everything.
Yeah, but is that true? Do they...
Yeah, people, I mean, you know, it's considered a purge as they're sort of purging some emotions, more than just physically. It's sort of like a body reset, you know.
Right.
And that's what they consider it. They consider it to be just a general cleanse of everything.
But isn't it just you just get really sick?
Yeah. I've seen people get very sick. I've also, on sort of another note, noticed people in that state and sort of how music affects them, and that was really neat. So I would just like sing. I was mostly just like singing, and
they started weeping.
And sort of, well, no, they would just. It was really neat. Like I would sing a certain sounding thing, and they would kind of like, you know, be kind of like happy looking, and then you know I'd sing something, and they would just throw up everywhere.
Oh, so country music.
Yeah. So kind of like the songs I'm playing today. No, stop.
That's so interesting. I find the whole thing very fascinating because, altered states can come in all, or can, they're induced by all sorts of things. They could be induced pharmaceutically. They can be induced from even corporate chaos. Mm-hmm. I've seen induce altered states, whether you're at a Tony Robbins festival or the Happy Clappy Church down the street. And what benefit is an altered state if inevitably you can't stay there all the time? Is it just to sort of awaken a part of you? And then how much residual effect is there of that that new state?
I had. I'm gonna stay away from the scientific aspect
stuff.
I'm not gonna get into that like mushrooms opening up, for example, opening up pathways in the brain.
Right.
Like physically, that has been proven. Scientifically, that has been proven. But my friend explained sort of either psychedelic, like let's just say psychedelic experiences to me one time, and he said, it's like you're going down a hallway. And you go down and you open the door, and that is, you know, when somebody does a hallucinogenic drug. You know, they open the door and they look inside. Maybe you step in for a couple hours and you kind of like become part of that room, but the time comes when you do have to leave that room and close the door.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live in that room forever because it's not reality. And you know, I think there's benefits of, you know, kind of finding out what's inside that door, but you don't want to like live in there forever.
But wouldn't that be the tendency? Isn't that where addiction comes in?
Yes.
Where the idea is, look, I just want to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because reality is too harsh.
Yeah, I guess if we're not speaking specifically to just hallucinogenic drugs, I feel like that could also be an analogy for addiction.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a song about addiction, by the way?
I mean, probably.
Probably. Tim, do you have a song about addiction?
All the time.
Yes, he does. No, listen, I want to get another song out of you. Can you do the banjo again? Can you please play the banjo?
It's just banjo.
Is this an Epiphone?
No, this is a Deering Good Time.
Ooh, that sounded more like a real banjo.
It's a good time, yeah.
Yes.
Well, no, it's actually factory made. It's $400.
No way.
Yeah, and sometimes you just get lucky with them. I love this banjo, though.
So. Nice. How long have you had it for? It looks like it's been severely beat to death.
Since May 1st, 2016.
Oh. Yeah. Have you thrown it at people?
I've thrown myself at it.
Yes.
My hand at it.
There we go. All right. Well, let me just tell you again, kids. Meredith Moon is who we are chatting with. She is in studio. The website is meredithmoon.com, and she'll be playing at the Cameron House in Toronto on July 19th. So go check her out. You can go to her website, buy some tunes. We're going to go out at the end of her interview with another track off her CD. Can I just have the case, Timmy, please? Thanks, Puddin'.
You're welcome, Sweet Pea.
Meredith Moon, Forest Far Away. Forest Far Away. That's a great shot on the inside cover there.
Thank you. It was taken by a lady named Lisa McIntosh, who is a very talented photographer.
What a really, really well done photo. And how many tracks are on here? I think you've got about
12.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm. There's 6 originals and 6 traditionals.
That's a bargoon. right there. Okay, what song are we doing now?
I'm going to play a song called Hills of Mexico.
Oh, I love this. This is the YouTube one we posted.
Oh.
Yeah. We showed, if you go to the Drew Marshall Show website, what's it called again? DrewMarshall.ca, and go on the DrewTube, you'll see Meredith Moon. And, no, actually,
singing a song about cowboys.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Meredith Moon. Beautiful stuff. Well done, Meredith Moon. You know, that kind of music just makes me want to sit on the front porch with a glass of lemonade and
mint julep.
Oh, Timmy, you're a funny boy. The guy I was thinking of before Meredith Moon was Bill Monroe.
Yes.
Monroe.
Yes.
And another guy we just about booked on the show, but then he died. So that was kind of hard for him to join our show. His name is Ralph Stanley.
Okay.
Ralph's song that became kind of popular to the rest of the world was "O Death" from "Brother, Where Art Thou?"
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Earl Scruggs, another
Man of Constant Sorrow.
Yeah, Man of Constant Sorrow. Yep. Earl Scruggs. I think he died not too long ago, too, Earl Scruggs.
Not too long ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Try not to be a guest on the Drew Marshall Show.
Yeah, I know. We did a whole best of show last year, I think, of people who I've interviewed who have died. So I don't want you on that episode.
Well, I sincerely hope not.
We have thoroughly enjoyed our time with Meredith Moon. Really, it's taken a long time to book you. You're that big a deal. It was easier to book James Brown on the show.
Ow!
Yeah. Thank you for coming all the way from Montreal just to do the Drew Marshall Show. All right, what song are we doing here, kiddo?
I'm going to play a very traditional song called, it's originally called Black Eyed Susie, but I like to call it Blue Eyed Susie.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think it is a bit nicer.
It's a bit nicer.
And,
blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And, I took a lot from Lotus White's version of this song, who's a phenomenal banjo player. I actually gave him a shout out on my album.
Nice.
And I kind of did a couple things with it myself. So
beautiful.
Kind of noodle around.
Here we go. Meredith Moon on the Drew Marshall Show. Oh, man. That was one of the funnest musical experiences.